prayed for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
We chant the introit from the insert. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground.
God on high.
You exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
chant Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10 from the front of your hymnal, responsibly by whole verse. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way.
Tell me the answer, then I also will tell you
by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Hymn 857, you may be seated. Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? The question is born not of curiosity, but of self-preservation. The chief priests and the elders of the people sought not to understand, but to undermine Jesus' entire ministry. These chief priests and elders could not coexist with Jesus. His claim to authority could not stand. Jesus, who taught the wise men of Jerusalem as a 12-year-old, who forgave sins as if he were God himself, who cleansed the temple with a whip of cords, driving from his father's house those who would trade redemption for shekels, this Jesus could not be permitted unrestricted
latitude. He had to be cut down to size, to be exposed as a pretender, a man with no authority at all. These wise men, these leaders of Jerusalem, sought to try Jesus. But Jesus turned the tables. He put them on trial and exposed the emptiness of their prideful conceit. Like politicians, always living on the precarious edge between truth and expediency, the chief priests and the elders chose the latter. They jealously guarded their own authority. Any challenge to their authority had to be expunged, even at the cost of truth. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd. Embedded in their questions to each other is a tacit acknowledgement that John's baptism really was from heaven. But it also showed a prideful unwillingness to admit that to Jesus. We determine the truth, they seem to say. It is we who control access to forgiveness. This Galilean upstart cannot have the upper hand. The Jerusalem leaders did not ask their question, by what authority are you doing these things, so that Jesus might provide an answer that would satisfy them. They thought he could do no such thing. That's why they asked the question. They didn't seek a fair discussion about the source of Jesus' authority. They just wanted to make him stumble. You see, Jesus had challenged their authority. He had inserted himself where he didn't belong, between man and God. And that, of course, was their prerogative. God had appointed them to mediate between his people and himself, to offer sacrifices to atone for his people's sins. Now, of course, they paid lip service to piety. Who can forgive sins but God alone, they asked. But what they really cared about was the special power they had over God's people. Then along came Jesus, a man of no priestly credential. And he tried to usurp the authority to teach both the humble and the exalted, to forgive sins, and most blasphemous of all, to breach the temple customs, violently cleansing the temple, overturning tables, and driving out the money changers. Who did he think he was? By what authority? Who gave you this authority? These things, the things the chief priests and elders were so concerned about, that was their domain. Teaching, knowledge, repentance, forgiveness, these were not affairs of the people. They belonged to the men of the temple. We too are stuck between heaven's gifts and the wisdom of the world. When Jesus' predecessor John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the wise men of Israel simply responded, "Who do you think you are, pal?" Like them, when we refuse that repentance, we refuse Christ's forgiveness. It's a matter of pride. We have our very own rituals for repentance, if we have any at all. And we handle our own forgiveness. How often have we identified our own sin and decided to make up for it? We slander our brother and try to compensate with fawning praise. We steal from our employer with lazy work habits, only to work overtime in the hopes he'll never find out. We lust after our neighbor's wife and come home to ours with a handful of flowers. But who do we think we're fooling? John had a name for people who try to pull that move. He called them a brood of vipers. You see, any attempt to compensate is no repentance at all. It is a lie. It's just covering up one's tracks. It might salve our consciences, for the time being anyway. But God knows better, even if everyone else around is fooled. This is why Luther begins his explanations of every commandment with the phrase, "We should fear and love God." We might fool our brother, we might fool our wife, but we're not fooling God. We should fear and love God so that we keep his commandments. And we should fear and love God so that we repent to him when we fail to do just that. God's law is not merely a code of civil convenience. It is his holy will. And therefore, God alone can forgive sins. This much the wise men of Israel got right. But they didn't understand that just as forgiveness is between God and man, so is repentance. Because to sin against one's neighbors is to sin against God. When we try to make up for our sins, we do the same thing. We question Jesus' authority to forgive sins. When we refuse to repent to God, or we refuse Christ's forgiveness, we are no better than the foolish men who challenged Jesus' authority. Our refusal to repent to God is a choice to follow the path of unrighteousness. And there lies only death. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin, says the Lord your God. But by accumulation of sin and acts of false repentance, we separate ourselves from the knowledge of God. In our self-conceived machinations, Jesus' authority becomes first a hazy concept and then a foreign idea altogether. No sacrifice we might make to overcome our sins is true repentance, but mere lipstick on an ugly pig. It is not dressing up a pig to make her beautiful that pleases God. Rather, it is the already beautiful Lamb of God who spills his blood to cover our sins. Now, putting the best construction on everything, perhaps we can say the chief priests and the elders of the people did not actually know the correct answer when Jesus questioned them. In clinging to their work-righteous rituals, perhaps they could no longer catch sight of true repentance. Perhaps they mistook the Old Testament rituals of sacrifice for the real thing. Perhaps they understood their temple sacrifice not as the foreshadowing God intended, but as the means by which they might earn forgiveness. And maybe they couldn't see John's baptism for what it was, a gracious call to repentance and an even more gracious offer of forgiveness. We often see John as a wild-haired eccentric wearing camel's hair and eating locusts, preaching fire and brimstone like an Old Testament prophet. John said hard things, but John came not to condemn. He came to offer new hope, even to those at the bottom of society's barrel. John's call to repentance comes with the promise of forgiveness from a source of infinite mercy. John's baptism stood outside the Old Testament rituals. It replaced them. John was a prophet of Jesus, not a reprisal of Levitical law. He was born not to reinforce the sacrificial system that foreshadowed Jesus. He was born to make straight the way of the Lord. He came to clear the decks for a new covenant, in which forgiveness was not paid for by a temple sacrifice, but by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John preached hope by the forgiveness of sins. And by what authority did John do these things? By the authority of the Lamb of God. The chief priests and the elders sought comfort in their legalistic sacrifices. But John preached real comfort because it was sent from heaven above. John preached the God who made himself the sacrifice for our sins. Those who reject the gifts John came to proclaim, repentance and forgiveness of sins, will always see Jesus as a puzzle. By what authority are you doing these things? But what John preached, Jesus is. In Jesus, we are called to repentance. And in Jesus, we are given complete forgiveness. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It is the will of the Father that you obey His commandments. And Jesus did exactly that. So that when we repent of our sins, we repent to the one who has fulfilled the law on our behalf. And by His holy life and His sacrifice on the cross, we are forgiven. Not of our own works, but by Christ's works. So where did John's baptism come from? Heaven or man? Now we know. It came from the God who became man. The agnosticism of the Jewish leaders evaporates before Jesus. For those who do not reject the gifts John came bearing, repentance and forgiveness, the question by what authority is mere pointless ego fluffing. Jesus demolished that prideful conceit. But those who do not follow the rituals of self-justification, preparing sacrifices in which God has no interest, those people accept heaven's gifts. They come to His altar not with bought sacrifices, but by contrite hearts, praying, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." Directly after our gospel lesson this morning, we read, "A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." The one who enters the kingdom of God is not the one who boldly offers his services and then sits idly by. Rather, is the one who comes at the 11th hour. The Heavenly Father does not regard your works, but the works that have been performed on your behalf. Which of the two did the will of his father? Well, sure wasn't the one who merely claimed he would do his father's will. It was the one who actually did his father's will. In his father's vineyard, where wine flows, where forgiveness is given freely to those who accept it. It is not holy people who take pride in their piety, not the chief priests, not the elders of the people. It is tax collectors and harlots, those who regard themselves as the worst of the worst, yet cling to God's promises. They are the ones who truly repent and seek Christ's forgiveness. They do not prepare elaborate sacrifices attempting to earn God's forgiveness. Because forgiveness is a one-way street from God to you. To accept heaven's gifts is to do the will of the Father. And to do the will of the Father is to have the Father's will be done to you. Thy will be done. Let the Father's mercy, earned by Jesus' holy sacrifice and sustained in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, be all the authority we need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.
Celebrating birthdays and baptisms this week.
Peter Bruckner, Richard Geisler, Joni Eisenbrown, Mike Stecker, Celia Huntley, Jackie Chaptow, Andrew Hartman, and Brett Hollingsworth. And also husbands and wives, especially Peter and Kay Bruckner, celebrating their anniversary this week. Friends and neighbors, laborers and employers, teachers and students. Enable us all to serve our neighbors in godly vocations, delighting in the Lord's loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, all the might of man is nothing before you. You have appointed earthly realms and rulers to punish evil and honor good. Give us faithful leaders who will serve you honorably and well. We pray for all police and firefighters in Norman and surrounding communities. Bless also those who serve in the armed forces, including members of Trinity Lutheran Church, Mike Gobble, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Danny Green, Courtney Tate, and Eli Wiley, whom you have appointed to defend us and protect our liberty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, grant the encouragement of Christ and the comfort of his love to those who suffer, especially Jay Gallagher, Madison Lemke, Arlisa Tarver, Amy Johnson, Candy Darmody, Larry Miller, Deborah Stratmoen, Ed Punt, Edith Eisenbrown, Lindley Kocurek, Kay Bruckner, and Barbara Crown. In every affliction, prove yourself a ready and worthy Savior, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, in you there is no variation or shadow of turning. Enkindle your divine light in us, that we may stand united as Christ's own body, holding fast to the word of life, and shining brightly in the midst of this world's darkness. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.